was sitting beside, is it Constance? Is that, did I hear that right? Is that your name or something like that?
Conan.
Conan, okay. I don't know what I heard, but sitting beside him and Brother Rudy, sitting beside a couple of giants. God is good, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen. Let me get wired up here. Good to see everybody again. If anybody has a testimony while I'm getting wired in, go right ahead.
Love the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Button on this bad boy.
Have you got it?
Yeah, no, I think I need some help.
It's saying all you can do is turn it on there, brother. Oh, you turned it off.
Oh, yeah, turn it off.
Yeah. Is it ready?
Just imagine I work on computers for a living, I tell you what. Amen. God sure has been good to us. We said it before, but you know, we met Brother Rudy several years ago, but in ways it seems like yesterday. Time just absolutely just flies, but God is still the same God that He's ever been. And even through all those years, and I've been saved since I was about 14, and I'm 48 now, God has not failed me the first time. He's always been faithful, and I appreciate that of Him. If you would, turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew, chapter 11. Well, and I forgot my glasses at home, so I will try to read this. If not, I'll borrow some. That is something that happens with time, though, isn't it? Amen. I used to make fun of Brother Scott Agee. You know, he was here a couple weeks ago. He'd have to get me to read, you know, these little fine prints from these little, you know, stickers, the window stickers and everything, get the numbers, and it's come home to me. I gotta put on the spectacles now. But Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
It was actually mentioned in that first song, the Lily of the Valley. Part of that song, I guess, is a reference to this portion of Scripture. But it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Brother Rudy, would you pray for us tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. So, church, as I was thinking about this message, you know, maybe this applies especially to us men. We like to be strong, don't we? We would like to exercise how much that we can lift. And we like to flex our muscles. You know, and I've got, you know, a 25-year-old and I've got a 19-year-old, and they still do that. Even at that age, they'll come in and they'll say, you know, is my chest getting bigger? You know, that's just a man thing, you know, and that's all right, and that's a good thing in its ways. But a lot of times, you know, throughout life, especially as men, we try to maybe lift things that we ought not lift. You ever done that? Any men done that before? Maybe some of you women's done the same thing, you know. You know, you just wouldn't ask for help, and you say, well, I got this. And but a lot of times, you know, whenever we attempt to lift something that is really too heavy for us to lift, it can often create back problems, and sometimes for the rest of your life. You know, sometimes it'll injure you in such a way that you'll never get over it and completely over it. You know, and I got to thinking about this spiritually, that a lot of times we carry things that I don't believe that God intends for us to carry sometimes. Now, I realize we've all got our cross. You know, we've all got our battles. We've all got the things in life that we have to endure and we have to face and burdens that we have to, you know, go through and get victory over. But I believe that oftentimes we take way too much upon us and we just try to carry way more than what God really designed for us to carry. You know, so this is a perfect scripture for us to reflect upon, you know, of us getting weary and tired. And this is what Jesus is saying: come unto me, all ye that labor and are of heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Anybody ever needed rest before? We was in, on the mountain this morning at Brother John Potts, and, you know, when I got back home, Brother Rudy, and ate, and, you know, she fixed us, you know, a good hamburger steak and baked potato, and guess what? As soon as I ate that, I went straight to the bed and slept a couple of hours, and I believe I could have slept a couple of more. I was tired, you know, but we just get tired, don't we? We get tired in life, and not only physically, but oftentimes we get tired spiritually, and we get tired of just the battle, you know, just grueling on, and, you know, and that's something that God doesn't want us to quit. You know, we got to stay in the battle, but I believe that sometimes that we try to be super men or super women whenever God is all the time saying, just come unto me, let me take care of that for you. You know, so I want to preach to you tonight just for a few moments of time about putting it into God's hands. You know, putting it into God's hands and letting God take care of the things that he says, I can do this, you know, I've got this for you, but I guess sometimes we try to show off our strength, and we try to say, you know, and maybe show off in such a way that we say, well, I can do it, and, you know, and a lot of you, you know, have had family members or did this and that, and somebody would try to do a job by themselves and maybe too prideful, you know, to ask for help. Now, I've been like that a lot of times, Brother Rudy, that I would try to attack a certain thing or maybe it was lifting a certain thing, and I would rather try to do it myself than to ask for help sometimes, and that just boils down to pride. That just boils down to us thinking that we're a lot more than what we are. But God is saying, don't try to do this by yourself. Don't try to carry this by yourself, because that's what I'm here for. Amen. Amen. That's right. Jesus Christ has given us a perfect invitation to come unto him. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he said, I will give you rest. Now, I want to preach to you three things about putting into God's hands tonight. And the first one, it's just simply your circumstance. No, you need to put your circumstance into the hands of God. You need to put your situation into the hands of God and quit trying to figure it all out by yourself, because, you know, we know very well just how big of a mess that we can make out of things. Anybody beside me ever made a mess out of something that you tried to solve? Anybody but me? Amen. You know what I'm talking about. You know, we try to get in there and we try to fix it. And again, I guess it comes back to us being a lot. You know, we like to fix things. We like to correct things. But there's certain things in life, Brother Rudy, that you know, we just can't fix. There's nothing that we can do about. You know, they don't make a tool that can fix what needs to be fixed. They don't make a drill that can do what needs to be done. They don't make a power tool that will accomplish the task that needs to be accomplished. Sometimes it takes God to take care of the situation. Sometimes it takes God to move on the scene and do what you and I cannot do. Amen. I was thinking maybe even today about, how many's ever read the Serenity Prayer? You ever read that? Like I said, I was saved about 14 years old, and it seemingly that was one of the first religious poems that I remember reading. Don't even know if I can quote it accurately. I didn't look it up, but it's something along the line of, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change it, strength to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. You know, I boogered it up, but you know what I'm talking about. That's a good poem. But Brother Rudy, not until just maybe yesterday or today, I thought, but it lacks something. And this is what I want you to kind of think about tonight. We won't go there, but in 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses number 1 through 7, it talks about David and how that he was in the cave. You know, he was on the run from Saul. You know, he was in a situation, a very precarious situation, and really his life was on the line, and he was at no fault for what he was doing. He was being chased, and he was being ridiculed, and Saul was out to get him after his life. You know, he knew all the story there, but David had a situation to come along his way, and it was a situation where he could have taken the circumstance into his own hands. He had the ability, he had the means to act upon what needed to be acted upon. So that's one thing that maybe right here I want you to see, that Serenity Prayer, even though as good as it is, it's great. I'm not saying it's a bad poem, but it lacks this one thing. Sometimes we face circumstances in life that we cannot do anything about. Sometimes we pretty much don't have any other choice but to say, God, here you go. I can't do anything about it. I've tried. It's not working. Now, God, what can you do with this? Sometimes that is the case, but there are some times in life, that the situation is presented to us that maybe we do have the means, to change the situation. We do have the means to retaliate. We do have the means to make things right and set the record straight and to make everything even and to bring justice about. But sometimes, Brother Rudy, that is not God's will. And those are some of the times that I want you to really think about is those times in your life that yes, you could say something, and yes, you could do something, and yes, you could retaliate, and yes, you could get revenge, but God is saying no. Just put it into my hands, and let me take care of it. Now, the circumstance that I'm talking about there in 1 Samuel is whenever, David is there, and he had an opportunity to actually kill Saul, but he smote off part of his garment. And then later on, Saul went about his way. And the Bible says that David's heart was smote. You see, I want you to see here that if David chose to, he could have killed Saul. And guess what? He would have been justly in doing so. Amen? Physically speaking. But he chose rather to let God choose the outcome. Those are the situations in life, church, that is so hard sometimes for us to give over into God's hands. It's those things that we feel like we really could change, and the things that we really feel like we could change the outcome of, but yet we want God to have His providential way into things. Has anybody ever been in a spot like that I'm talking about, that you knew that you could do something about it, but you had rather let God take care of the situation because He knows so much more than what we do? His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. As far as the east is from the west, church, God doesn't think the way that we think. God doesn't work the way that we work. I was thinking about David, how that he had the opportunity and the means to absolutely just end this situation right there, but yet he chose to put it into God's hands and let Him take care of it. News bulletin, you'll face times in your life where you will be talked about. You will be lied about. You will be scorned. You will be mocked. You will be made fun of. You will be persecuted. And you're going to have to make the decision in those times, am I going to take matters into my hands, or am I going to put it into God's hands and let Him take care of it? Is anybody but me ever been in a time in your life where you wanted to call somebody and just give them a piece of your mind? Come on now, let's just be who we are. Let's just be transparent. Everybody has had those temptations, and we've probably all done it at some point in our lives. We would call them up, and let me tell you something. And just tear into them. Well, that's the flesh ruling. That's us giving over into our carnality whenever God is saying, no, just put it into my hands and let's see what I can do with it. Oftentimes whenever we take care of the situation, it is done out of pride, it is done out of stubbornness and selfishness and anger and frustration. We have a whole mix of emotions that is going on. And Brother Rudy, more often than not, we'll just make a mess out of things because, we don't know how to handle things sometimes. And we know the outcome that we would desire. We know how we would like things to end up. But the truth of the matter is that God's knowledge and God's foresight into things is so much more. We can't even compare to His knowledge. So that's the reason it's so important for us to give it over into God's hands. How many's ever read about Israel and Ai? You ever read that? The children of Israel had come back from a mighty, mighty victorious battle, from Jericho. The walls fell flat. They went in and destroyed that great city. And just a marvelous thing that God done. But if you read the story and how Achan, partook of the Babylonian's garment in the wedge of gold and silver, I think that it was, and hid it under his tent. Joshua, he said, send the guys out. Let's take care of this little job over here. Just send a few men, and then we'll go on about our business. But what was the outcome of that the first time around? It was disastrous. Some of them lost their lives. The rest of them, turned around and fled. You see, that is a direct comparison of whenever we have the ability and the means to act upon something, But if we don't do it in God's work and in God's timing, it's going to be a disaster. You know, we have to work within the will of God. And if we want to see anything good that's done, if we want to see good results, we got to do it God's way, Brother Rudy. And we got to just say, God, you know, I don't know. I just really don't understand. I don't know. And that is hard for us to admit sometimes whenever we reach that place and the point that we just say, I don't know. I don't have the answers. But God, you do. Do I have any witnesses here tonight? Boy, isn't that so hard for us to recognize and admit? But we know the story, how that goes. You know, they came back, told Joshua, you know, made things right, and then they went back and done it God's way, and then it was a totally different outcome. So number one, put your circumstance into God's hands, because I promise you, you'll have a whole lot better result if you put things into God's hands rather than trying to take care of it your way. And then number two, the thing to put into God's hands is simply your hand. You ever had those moments in life where you needed the Lord just to hold your hand? You know, we can read about Peter in the book of Matthew chapter 14 and how that the disciples were out on the sea. And, you know, when Jesus came at the fourth watch of the night between, 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, and Peter looked out and thought he saw a ghost. And he said, Lord, if it be you, you know, bid me to come unto you. And Jesus said, come on. And so guess what, Peter, unlike the rest of them, you know, hopped out of that boat, went walking toward the Lord. But there was something that happened to Peter, didn't it? Now, he was still ahead of the rest of them. You know, I'll still give him more credit than the rest of the bunch that stayed in the ship. But he started seeing everything that was around him and the boisterous waves that were coming and the winds that were blowing. And it started rattling his faith, and it started rattling what he thought that he knew. And he started what? Sinking. You know, but the Bible says that Peter cried out. You know, and Jesus reached and grabbed him. Now, it doesn't really say that he necessarily grabbed his hand, but I kind of visualize that. You know, that Peter was sinking, and at first maybe he was fighting the waters. You ever been there? You know, he was trying to make himself float his way, and he was trying to defeat the waves his way. But whenever he recognized and realized that it was all futile attempts, and he needed a mightier hand to help him than what he could do himself, you know, he cried out unto God and said, Lord Jesus, just help me. And guess what? The Lord just didn't sit there or stand there, rather, and look at him and watch him sink. But guess what the Lord done? The Lord reached down and grabbed him and picked him up out of that sinking situation and set his feet back where it needed to be. That's what Jesus Christ can do, and that's what we need to do. We just need to put our hand into his hand. Another poem that I so dearly love is the poem of The Footprints in the Sand. You ever read that one? I'm sure everybody has. That's probably my favorite of all time. And I could just visualize and picture us walking down life's way and going down, you know, the way of life and just holding the hand of God. Isn't that precious times whenever the Lord is just proving himself to us and we know that we got the Lord by the hand and he's got us by the hand? Boy, I tell you, there's nothing more special than that. Nothing more special. I do want us to go here. These are some scriptures that have truly, truly been close to my heart lately. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. Boy, if you don't have these marked in your Bible, well, it'd be a good time to bring out the pen. This is just wonderful, wonderful stuff. To me, anyway, and I believe it will be to you. Isaiah chapter 41, verse number 10. It says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed about me or against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. Then verse number 13, for I want you to listen to this very, very closely. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Isn't that some good stuff, church? Let me read 10 and 13 to you again. It says, fear thou not, For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. In verse number 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Now, I'm sure that you have faced times in your life, just like me and my wife have faced, that there's been times that maybe you felt like the whole world has done forsaken you and everything has turned against you. Your whole world is turned upside down and, you know, work is going bad and you know, everything is going bad. And, you know, your family's against you and everything else. But I tell you what, it is in those times that Jesus Christ said that I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I tell you, it's those times that it is so valuable to know that maybe you have nothing else to lean upon. You have nothing else to have confidence in, but you can have confidence in this one thing that Jesus said, that I'll hold your right hand. I will uphold you and I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. That is something, church, that we can take confidence in tonight, because God is faithful. God is faithful to be there exactly when we need Him. There's just something about having God there with you, isn't it? There's just something about, you know, that drives away all the fears and all of the circumstance. You may be going wrong, but there's something about whenever God makes Himself known to you, it just brings that sweet, calm spirit to your heart to let you know that everything's going to be all right. Amen. Do you know what I'm talking about tonight, church? That feeling that God will give you assurance of, that everything's going to be all right. So number one, we need to put our circumstance into God's hand. Number two, we need to put our hand into God's hand. You know, they used to sing an old song, put your hand in the hand of the one who calmed the waters. And number three, now maybe we don't, this is not something that we need to put into the hands of the Lord, but it's something that has been put into the hands of the Lord that we are somewhat responsible of. And that is the nails. Have you ever reflected lately, church, of just how much the Lord has done for you? At the price that the Lord Jesus Christ has paid for you? If we're not careful, we'll get so consumed by our daily living and being exposed to the story of Easter, you know, every year, and we'll see movies about it, and we hear messages preached about it, and if we're not careful, we'll kind of get immune to really what really happened. But church, we need to realize that Jesus Christ paid it all. That what Jesus done for us wasn't a small task, but it was a mighty thing, and it was a powerful thing. It was a loving thing that Jesus came, you know, to die for our sins so that we might live. So I want you to know something. The reason that I can have confidence into putting things into God's hands is because what was put into God's hands, into Jesus Christ's hands, and that was the nails, that was the price that He paid, and it didn't stop there. Thank God that it didn't stop with the death, but thank God it went further than that. It went on to the burial, it went on to the resurrection, it went on to the ascension, and one of these days it's going to be Him coming back to get His people and His bride. I believe it with all of my heart. Do you believe that tonight, church? I believe it. You know, but because that Jesus lived through what He lived, and because that Jesus lives, we can have absolute confidence into putting things into His hands and knowing that it's going to be taken care of. Do you believe it? Amen. Let me read to you some scriptures here that I've just got down. But in John chapter 20, you know, we read about Thomas. You know, Thomas wasn't there whenever the rest of the disciples were there. You know that story as well. You know, and Jesus reappeared to him later, and Thomas was there, you know, because Thomas had already said, you know, if I don't see the prints in his hands, I'm not going to believe. I don't know what's worse, that or just believing everything that you hear. I don't know. But regardless, whenever Jesus did appear to Thomas, Thomas didn't have to go put his finger into his hands or into his side. He knew that it was the real deal. Think about what was really happening at that moment. Jesus was alive. Jesus was no longer dead. This Messiah that they thought to be the Messiah had been crucified and put into a grave. Now what are they going to do? No, that was not the end of the story. Jesus said, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. Church, we are to get that tonight. We already get how significant that is. And you know, he got to Thomas in John 14 and verse 19. He says, because I live, you shall live also. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 18. He says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. And Jesus spoke to Martha, you know, in the Lazarus story. You know, he said, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Amen. Boy, that's a promise, isn't it? It does not have to end here, you know, and it's not going to end here. We're only going to have one of two destinations, but I know that we face things here in life, but there is going to be a day that is coming. Oh, what a day that it's going to be whenever we finally see Jesus face to face, and that is going to be so much comfort and so much consolation to know that it was worth it all, Brother Rudy. It was worth every trial. It was worth every trouble. It was worth every tear. It was worth every heartache. Everything that we went through in this life, it was going to be just as nothing whenever he just comes and he just does like that. And he's going to say, you're home. You don't have to worry anymore. You're home. Do you know what I'm talking and preaching to you tonight about, church? Come on. And then in Romans chapter 8, this will probably be the last scripture I read. Romans chapter 8, verse number 38 and 39, for I am persuaded. And of course, this is Paul speaking, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My, oh my. Brother Rudy, what can separate us from that love? No fear, no trouble, no heartache. Jesus has got this. It may seem that things are out of control, and as far as the world is speaking, it's in an absolute mess. I've never seen it in such a mess. But don't think for one nanosecond that Jesus is out of control, and that things are out of his control, rather, I should say. He's still very much in control. And whenever God chooses to send his son, guess what's going to happen? He's coming. Whenever God chooses to send, Jesus set all these things straight, guess what's going to happen? They're going to be made straight. It's not going to be much of a task at all to him, but he's going to do what needs to be done, because we need to realize that God is able. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever ask or think. We have so many promises of just how powerful that God is. Why should we doubt him? I'll mention this before we close out, and I'll close out in just a few minutes. But whenever we put things into God's hands, we don't need to go try to take it back.
That's right. That's
good. Amen. We need to say, God, you can have it, and I don't want it back.
Amen.
Amen. If you've ever been delivered from something, you'll know what I'm talking about. Now, not drugs or anything, of course, you know that too, but even a psychological situation, you know, even a burden of life, you know, whenever you finally get to the place and point that you give that into the Lord's hands, you're going to reach the point, hey, I don't want it back. I don't want it back. But sometimes in our selfishness, it's so hard for us to let go of that control. And maybe God is not moving as quickly as we think that he should be moving on a circumstance, and we'll say, can I have that back? No, just let him keep it. Just let him keep it. Church is so vitally, vitally important. But it's a matter of trust, isn't it?
Yes.
Do you trust that God is able tonight?
Amen, brother. Amen.
Be honest. Do you trust that God is able? I do. Church, I do.
Amen.
Now, the storm clouds get pretty dark sometimes, don't they? But there's still a sun that is shining. God is able, church.
Amen.
God is able. As they'd be getting a song maybe ready, if it'd be all right, Brother Rudy, for me to go ahead and give an invitation here. I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands, but if there's something in your life that you know you need to put into God's hands, but you're not doing it, won't you let tonight be that night? Won't you let tonight be the night that you're free from that? that you don't have to be responsible for that anymore. Let God take care of it. That's what He wants to do. Again, reflecting back on the first scripture, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Do you need rest from something tonight? Do you need God to take control of something in your life tonight? Stand with us if you would. And while they play, if you'd like to come and pray about anything in particular, I'm not going to quiz you. I'd be happy to pray with you, but maybe there's something in your life that just seems to be getting the best of you. Maybe it's somebody in your life that seems to be getting the best of you. Maybe you want to make that a matter of prayer. Anybody at all, you want to come and pray. Praise the Lord. There's one. Any others? Any others? You know, there is a fountain, church. Anybody else at all you'd like to come and pray? Do you need to put it into God's hands? Let Him take care of something for you? Won't you come and ask Him?